Anywho.
All right, go, guys.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. It is Capril.
And
we watched Joe Carnahan's The A-Team.
I'm really...
a gigantic cast, actually.
I'm really excited to talk to you about this movie. I truly am.
Why?
Well, because this is one of those weird Gogs doesn't like movies that, like, I am befuddled as to why you don't like this movie. We've talked about this for years, so I'm excited to go in depth and actually talk about it. Because
let's unpack.
I'm gonna bury the lead a little bit. Like, I remember enjoying this movie, and I enjoyed it again watching it this time. It's dumb as shit, and
dumb as shit, but it's a lot of fun.
It's a blast, and the script is fucking stupid as hell. This is written by Skip Woods, the guy that wrote Sabotage, and I believe the Point Break remake, and he's written, like, just some of the worst fucking movies, but, like, this his stupidity, it kind of works. But anyway, we'll get into it. I just wanted to say that I'm very... This is one of those rare times where a movie that we've talked about analog for years. I mean, this movie has come up a bunch. Probably... I feel like it's come up on the show a bunch, but I can't remember any specific examples. So I'm excited to get into it in depth again. And it's always funny as it's always fun to go back and watch stuff that, you know, that you haven't seen in a long time. I feel like that's something I've definitely learned on this show, that it's fun to go back to stuff and
revisit, you know, it, right?
Yeah, like, kind of see how you feel about it with, like, your current eyes, you know what I mean? For good or bad, you know?
My terrible, terrible eyes.
Yes, no shit. Me too, buddy. All right, anyway, what did y'all watch this week? Sean may or may not join us. He's sucking his dad off, and, you know, at his age, it's hard to get a complete boner, so it's a whole thing.
So he's so used to it at this point, right? How, like, the thrill has to be gone. Like, there's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm much younger, and I have a problem. I mean, a lot of times my consistency is that of those, like, seafood noodles that you get in like ramen, the fish cake things. You know,
that's awful.
Tastes bad too.
Oh, I love them, and I love penis. Alec.
Hey, yo.
What'd you watch this week?
I watched Four Things.
Hell yeah.
I finished Leap of Faith, which I started watching last week. The Steve Martin movie where he's a big tent preacher / scam artist who his team of con men and grifters go about the crowd and learn things about people and relay it to him through a headset so he can con them. And it was better than I expected.
Yeah.
It's still not great. It's not A-tier Steve Martin, but it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be trash.
That was kind of in, like, his slumpy years, right? Like,
I don't know. It was 92. So that's, like, about Father of the Bride-ish.
I mean, I do love that movie. Unapologetically so.
I don't know. I feel like Steve Martin didn't have any slump. Like, I don't know. He's never been, like, prolific after, like, the, like, 70s and early 80s. He's never been a guy making, like, two or three movies a year, I don't think.
I guess that's true. He's just sort of experiencing a big resurgence right now. But I was thinking, like, Cheaper by the Dozen, the Pink Panther movies. Like, there were some movies there that was kind of
Pink Panthers. I've never seen them.
They're good. I've never seen them either. I just assume
they're not good. I've seen at least one of them, and it was terrible.
Bowfinger is excellent.
Bowfinger's very good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it. It's not his best work, but it's not bad. What next, Alec? What else is this movie called? This movie called OG with Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, okay. You're on a Jeffrey Wright kick. You watched American Fiction last week. Now you.
Yeah. This movie is absolutely phenomenal. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I think it was an HBO original. Just called OG. And Jeffrey Wright's in prison, and he's about to get out, and he's like trudging through his last days in prison. At one point, he was like the head of the gang, but he got Somebody took it over from him. So he's like dealing with issues from that. There's a new young kid who comes in and tries to like, I guess, take him out for a clout. And he's dealing with that. It's really, really like, it's phenomenal. There's this great scene at the end, like the very, very end where he's like, well, I don't know if I'm gonna spoil it. I mean, nobody's seen this movie or even heard of it.
I'm definitely going to go watch it.
There's a really good scene at the end where he's like to the point of almost getting out. And like in his head are all these conversations. And he's like just walking somewhere. And it's all these conversations and all this like white noise. And you can't make sense of like what it is. Mm-hmm. But then it shows him from the outside. It's just like dead quiet. Like there's nobody there. There's nobody around.
It's really cool. OG.
Now for the other part of this movie.
Uh-oh.
It's hard to separate artist from art sometimes.
Uh-oh. Who is it?
This movie was written, directed, and produced by Madeline Sackler.
The Sackler family that made Oxycontin?
Yes, thank you. Heiress to the Sackler fortune,
no
who
shit.
Has gone on record saying that her family did nothing to
cause
the opioid crisis in America. Like,
that ties into another. You watched that movie all about that not too long ago, right?
That show on Hulu.
Or show, excuse me. Yeah, yes.
But like, the movie's like perfect. It's so good. And like clearly, this woman is like super talented, but she'd probably be better off
not looking up the credits.
Oh my god! Like we're talking about that. It's like how, like yeah, you can. People say separate art from the artist.
It's hard sometimes.
Something like that, where literally it has affected millions and millions of people.
Yeah,
from this one company, and she goes on record saying, "No, there's no." Sometimes it's nice to just know when to keep your mouth shut.
That's pretty inexcusable.
She destroyed a lot of lives.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
But the movie is a masterpiece. And it was all shot in like an actual prison with almost all the actors and stuff are actual like prisoners and guards who were on good behavior.
I'll have to check it out. Sounds interesting.
It is.
I really like Jeffrey Wright. I mean, Jeffrey Wright rules.
Yeah, he's awesome. William Fichtner's in it. He plays the warden. He's really good. I can't think of anybody else. What's his name? The guy who played the Reaver in Wolverine.
We love that guy.
Boyd Holbrook.
Boyd Holbrook.
That guy rocks.
Yeah, that guy. He plays like his parole attorney who's trying to help him get out. But he's really like incompetent, and like it's really, you see the level of like help that these people get, which is like dick.
Yeah, of course.
And then finally, we watched two Coen Brothers movies.
Wow, look at you!
Both ones I've seen before. I watched The Big Lebowski and Fargo.
Hell yeah!
Big Lebowski is pretty good and fine. Fargo is a masterpiece.
Yeah, Fargo is like a perfect movie. It's so fucking good.
It is, and like, you know, you watched a few seasons of the show.
I watched up to season three. I need to finish.
So, like, every season for the show takes little bits like from the movie. And they don't necessarily even like tie in the characters or anything. They just take little scenes.
Yeah.
Well, the scene, I didn't realize until watching Fargo this time after watching the show. There's a scene in this most recent season with Juno Temple where they recreate the break-in and her getting kidnapped and everything. And I was like, oh no, my God, shit.
I forgot
all about it. It's so fucking good.
Well, the thing that I really liked about the Fargo TV show is that not only did it take, I mean, it really was like an homage to a, like the whole Coen brothers thing, like everything. It's like in season two, they had the aliens, and that's a callback to The Man That Wasn't There. And like, I thought that show, like I said, I really need to finish it because like the first three seasons are great.
It's really like Fargo, like in name only. It's like they got, they just took the Coen brothers to, which the show is phenomenal. Four out of the five seasons are like peak.
Like it's really television. Good.
And I didn't finish the one with Chris Rock. I'd say it took way too long to get where it was going, and we just stopped watching it.
Yeah.
But man, that movie's really good too. And that movie like is only an hour and a half long, which is crazy. Because you think like epic like that would be like two and a half hours. But like you're in, you're out. It's
they do such a good job
much over.
In both of those movies developing the characters, right? Like we talk about this a lot in movies that we review, but like we don't connect to care. Like a lot of times in bad movies and movies that we don't care for, we can't connect to the characters because we don't really get a sense of who the characters are. And I feel like the Big Lebowski and Fargo do an amazing job of giving you these characters. Like that's why like both those movies are so fucking memorable. Cause you remember those characters so well. And even like the Steve Buscemi and, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his fucking name.
Stormare.
Yeah, Peter Stormare's character. Like, they feel way more, like, fleshed out, even though they're kind of just, like, the villains of the movie. Like, I don't know. I could go on and on and on about the Coens.
Marge Gunderson.
Oh, incredible.
Arguably the main character of the movie. She doesn't even show up till halfway through, maybe a little more than halfway through.
Yeah, and she's not even in the movie. I think she got a Best Actress nod for the, or, not nod. I think she won the Oscar for Best Actress in that.
I don't think so. I don't think she got it until Three Billboards.
I don't think she got it until that movie where she lives in a camper.
That was Normaland. That movie's, I did not care for that movie.
I liked it.
It was fine. I don't know.
The girl who directed Eternals.
Yeah,
Chloe, a true
masterpiece.
I was reading something. I forget who they were interviewing, but they were like, "Yeah, I don't think Eternals 2 is going to get made now." And I was like, "You think?
Yeah,
like why would that have even still been on the books?"
Yeah, I'm not surprised. So we'll never get to see Black Knight or whatever. So she did win Best Actress for Fargo.
Oh, right on.
Best Actress. Did she win
it for other things too?
I don't know. I just Googled Fargo and Academy Awards. It also won Best Original Screenplay, and it was nominated for just about everything else. Let me see. What's her? Frances McDormand, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is married to Joel Coen, I think.
She's married to a Coen, like I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, she's married. I think it's Joel Coen. So she won Best Actress for Normanland or whatever you say that.
Nomadland.
Did I say Norman? Jesus Christ. Best Actress for that. Best Actress for Three Billboards, and Best Actress for Fargo. So she's got some
clout there.
She's really good in I mean, she's good in everything, but like she's good in Burn After Reading. I love that. I feel like that movie's criminally underrated. I know we talk about that. It's a movie we talk about on the show all the time, but I love that fucking
movie. I feel like it's a very sleeper Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, people generally don't like it. It's like kind of regarded as like lesser Coen, which I think is insane. I think that movie's hilarious. But anyway, anything else, Alec?
No, we started the Fallout series. We're two or three episodes in, and so far I like it.
Yeah, I will just go ahead and say my piece on that. I'm almost finished with it, and I love it. I think it's great.
Do you have any affinity for the game, Alec?
I never played the game at all. None of them. I like it so far, but it's a little slow. Does it pick up?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, after about episode 3, I feel like it picks up. But I, I, I am a diehard, Gogs already knows this, but I am a diehard Fallout fan. In fact, I watched some TikTok the other day where some goddamn Zoomer was like, Fallout 2 is mid, and I about had a heart attack. I was like, Fallout 2 is mid, you fucking child. Like, get the fuck out of here. Fallout 2 is a goddamn masterpiece. Get the fuck out of here. I'm a diehard fan. Well, yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, what are you talking about? Fallout 1 and 2 are fucking, like, some of the greatest games ever made. But, no, I love the series. And it's funny, right, because, and Gogs will appreciate this, because he's also a fan of the games. So this is the second time that Bethesda Studios has given their property to somebody else, and everybody loves it. The first time was with New Vegas, and everybody loves that, and that's what everybody always talks about. So it's funny because like Bethesda's kind of in like a not in a great space right now because Fallout 76 was trash, and Starfield, I don't care what anybody says, is trash, or at least it's divisive. I'll give it. I personally think it's trash. So now everybody loves the new Fallout show. It's getting generally great reviews.
Well, and kind of like
Bethesda had nothing to do with it.
They're kind of like George Lucasing now. Like they're like when someone else takes their stuff and does something with it, it's better.
Oh yeah. But I guys, I'm shocked you didn't watch any of the show because you're a big Fallout fan.
I was really like leery of it. Like I was like, this is gonna suck. Yeah, I know. No. Everyone keeps telling me it's good, so
it's really good. And it's like it's there's like a lot of fun nods. Like people like purists are gonna be mad because it fucks with the timeline a little bit, but like I don't give a shit about all that. Like as long as the story's interesting.
Yeah, I felt like TikToks where it takes place after like all the games.
Yeah, it takes so place.
It's kind of like its own story.
Well, it also kind of fucks with the New Vegas stuff, but like I don't. Again, does that real like? I don't care. Like New Vegas still exists. Like you know what I mean? Like oh, you retcon this. It's like they every game retcon shit. That's what they do. It's like a comic book. Like
I think I saw something on Instagram or something. Is there a Brotherhood of Steel dude fighting, what are those mutant bears called? A Yagwai?
Yeah, that happens in, like, the second episode. No, and it's what's his name?
Michael Rapaport.
Michael Rapaport, which sucks, because he's a fucking Zionist, and now it's like, talk about separating the art from the artist. As soon as I see that guy now, I'm like, ew, change the channel. Because I have no respect for that man. I used to like him, I used to think he was funny, but, like, he's fucking gross. Gross that, like, But I highly like. I love it. Like I said, I am almost done. I have like one episode left. I couldn't stop watching it. I thought it was great. And like the thing that I was the most impressed by is Fallout has a very weird tone where it's kind of serious and it's kind of goofy. And like the show pulls it off because it's like that. It's like kind of serious and kind of heartfelt and kind of silly and it's super violent. Like it's like. Almost Turbo Kid levels of violence, but that also is like the games. The games are crazy violent. I mean, there's a perk, Alec, in the game called Bloody Mess. Like you have, it's a role playing game, so you can give your characters different attributes. And there's a perk that all it does is just make sure every time you kill somebody, they have the most violent death possible. It has no other benefit. There's no damage boost. There's nothing. The only thing is that it makes your enemies die in the goriest way possible. So they carried that along. The only thing I would have a nitpick with is that like Fallout like classically always has like kind of like a dirty filter. Like everybody always laughs that Fallout 3 was the green game and Fallout New Vegas was the yellow game. The show is a little too clean looking, I would say, but overall I loved it.
I thought I saw like green trees.
There are. They're in like a
there forest. Are. Yeah. Yeah. But it's really good. And the lead actress is great. She's in Yellow Jackets. It's a show I really like. And Walton Goggins. I mean, it's Walton Goggins. The guy's fantastic. The guy that plays the Brotherhood of Steel guy. I don't want to spoil anything since Alec hasn't gotten as far as me. But I think he's really interesting. I feel like his character arc is really interesting. But overall, it's probably the best piece of video game adaptation media that we've gotten so far. Like, I think it's really, really good.
The Last of Us just came out last year.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. How did I already forget about that? Now, Last of Us is better, but this is still really good. anyway, sorry, Alec. I just kind of jumped on you.
No, that literally was everything. I wrapped up a few sitcoms I had been watching, but as far as movies and new business, that was it. Gogs.
New business.
I didn't watch any movies, it turns out. Yes.
As it turns out, what did you just like forget? And, like,
I would have figured one would have snuck in there, but I did watch. I know I'm late. I know I'm late to this, but I've been watching Schitt's Creek with Liz.
Oh, that show's
really good. We're in season three now. Eugene Levy and Dan Levy are so, everyone's great. Nobody's bad in the show. Chris Elliott's great in it. Like, everyone's great in it. But those two especially are just
love Chris Elliott.
Outstanding. Eugene Levy and Dan Levy are just so good in it. We're just watching it. We're just cruising through it on Hulu, and it's super funny, but it's also like kind of charming and heartfelt. Like, it's got the same vibes as like the later seasons of like Parks and Rec, where like you're laughing and having a good time, but you care about these people.
Is there any Christopher Guestiness to it, since all those guys are Christopher Guest people?
Not really.
Not really.
No, it was absurd on its face, but it's not
like they're in it. But Eugene Levy's son's the one who created it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you're right. Like Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy being like the husband wife. Like
those duo. Two have amazing chemistry together. They work so well together.
They are. It's. I would recommend it. It's really, really good. It's funny. Like, I laugh out loud watching it. And Dan Levy just, I don't know how, I can't imitate his expressions, but his expressions and reactions
you've seen him all over.
Oh, he's like, on Twitter, like every commercial. And yeah, he's very, like he's all over the place. His facial
expressions, like, ew. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, he's like instant horrified, but like, you can't, like, it's so good. But that's all I've been watching. So, TJ.
What's something good to watch? It's enjoyable.
It is. I'm loving it.
You said it's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu, yep.
I watched one thing. Well, I was going to talk about Fallout, but since Alex brought it up, I figured I would talk about that. But I watched Alex Garland's Civil War.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I mean, I hope
So here's the thing. It's one of the rare movies where the more I think about it, like when I left the theater, like I liked it, but I was kind of thinking about it, and I was like, I liked it, I didn't love it. And then the more I've been thinking about it, I mean, I saw it Saturday, and the more I've been thinking about it, the more I like it. It's an interesting movie, and I feel like, I think a lot of people aren't going to like it, because I feel like the trailers are slightly misleading. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say that the movie is not really even about the Civil War. It's about journalism, and it's about like how we, at least this is what I took away from the film, it's about how we become desensitized to the violence around us and how, like, we basically can get used to anything. And it's kind of like, you know, a lot of people were mad about this movie when they heard the premise, just in general. Like, conservatives love to get mad over nothing. But it's kind of apolitical. They don't really talk about, I mean, they talk about the war in the film, but they don't really talk about either side, and they're not really interested in moralizing anything about the war. It's almost like these reporters are just reporting on it, and it doesn't really matter about the particulars because they're just in the middle of a war zone. I think it's pretty interesting. Like, honestly, like I think that like the Kirsten Dunst is like really fucking good in the movie. She plays this like hardened like war photographer. She's kind of famous, like people know who she is, but she's basically been through it all, and she's kind of like, she starts the movie out as this like detached, you know, war-torn person that's like kind of been there, done that, and she's just kind of like going through the motions, and she has a pretty heavy emotional arc through the film, and I thought like by the end of it was very impressive. I will say, again, I'm kind of talking around the movie. I will say that for a relatively low budget movie, I know it's pretty high budget for an A24 movie, but it was only like $50 million. And in today's money, you know, what the hell is $50 million for a movie? I mean, every movie costs like $220 million nowadays or whatever. This movie looks incredible. And it's not a spoiler. You see it in the trailers. But like the end of the movie when they get to DC, I've never seen like urban combat on screen the way they show it in this movie. And it looks absolutely amazing. Like the way that. I don't even know how they got some of these shots, but like the way that you it really does look like DC like is getting like rockets thrown at it and tanks are going down the street. I mean, it looks so fucking good. And whoever they hired, I mean, again, I don't, you know, obviously I was never in the military, but whoever they hired to do all the, like when they're entrenched and they're doing all the fighting, like all the fighting seems very like accurate. It's like, again, I don't know, but it seems like all the tactics that they're doing. And again, they're not like the journalists. There are characters are literally just following these guys. And it's interesting to watch them like basically not act like they're almost not there. I don't know, man. I the more, like I said, the more I really want to watch the movie again, the more I think about it, the more I like it. If you're going in and expecting like a regular war movie, this is not what this is. Like, this is, it's interesting because Alex Garland said that his biggest influence for this movie was the movie Come and See, which I don't know if anybody here has seen, but it's a very like traumatizing movie about World War II and basically about this child that witnesses like all the horrors of war. And by the end of the movie just ends with his like horrific, like 1,000-yard stare after he's witnessed literally like everything go wrong in his life and, you know, people slaughtered and all. And that, you can feel that in this movie. Like, I don't know. It's, I think Alex Garland continues to just be a really, really interesting filmmaker. And if you believe what he says, this might be his last movie, because he apparently doesn't like making movies, which is a goddamn shame because he makes some very interesting work. But yeah, I really liked it. I like it more and more the more I think about it, and I think it's really interesting. So yeah, that's
now,
all I want.
Maybe now he can focus on his true passion, Caribbean folk music.
Well, he's excuse me.
It's a joke from Parks and Rec. It's a joke from Parks and Rec from like years ago. It's got it's who is it? It's Cory Booker and some Republican, and they created this Caribbean folk band called Across the Isle, ISLE, where they get together and do like open mic night Caribbean folk music for people.
That's hilarious. I love that. Well, Alex Garland is making a 28 Days Later sequel, which I found kind of interesting. Oh, I don't know if he's just writing it or if he's directing it, but he's definitely involved. And they're making a trilogy, so I don't know what, like, I don't know how to feel about that, but he's definitely involved in the first one. So, and Cillian Murphy is gonna be in it again
28 months later, 28 years later, 28 decades later.
I always go back to this, but the I think it's called 28 years later is the working title. So I think it is literally 28 years later, which is kind of interesting. Could be interesting. I will always go back to this.
But there is the right time frame for when the first one came. That came out in like, what, like 2000, 2001?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I will always say this when I talk about 28 Days Later. There's a really good sequel comic book that I highly recommend. I think it's just called 28 Days Later, but it's very good. Anyway, that's all I watched. Let's get into our feature presentation. Also, one negative I could have of this movie is I could do without them piping in that fucking theme, like the notes of that theme over and over. It's like, I get it.
It's just like in Creed when they play the Rocky music.
Yeah. Yeah, give it to me. It's exactly
that. I was sad the movie didn't open with that theme. It had some other Hans Zimmer nonsense to it.
And then they had about 5 minutes of, was it Andy Up?
Oh, yeah.
Blasting through the desert. This movie rocks.
This is a movie for dudes who like movies. Like, this is like, get your dick in your hand, get a beer, and send the ladies out. Because this is a dude movie. So no girls allowed in dude movie land.
I'm thinking that the movie is probably structured in similarly. I haven't watched the A-Team show in a very long time, but I suspect if I were to go back to it, all of my same problems with this movie would be present in the show. So the show is probably, this is probably dead nuts accurate to the way the show carried on. So maybe my criticisms will be incorrect. Because they might be just be intentional from Joseph Carnahan. But anywho, the movie opens and we're in Mexico. And Lieutenant Hannibal's, no, Colonel Hannibal Smith
Colonel
is tied up to a chair, getting worked over by two police officers. And they're going to kick his dick in with bullets, but the gun don't work. So his
dick in with bullets.
So they unleash some dogs on him, but he's always has a plan, even though his plans turn out to be just, I feel like, so here's the thing. If we take a big step back and we find out that, Colonel Hannibal Smith is either Domino or Longshot, then this movie makes a lot more sense.
I like his name better as Colonel.
Colonel Smith.
Colonel Smith.
But like, if he has a way to like bend reality to make it work out for him, then
I'm already annoyed with you. So your problem with this movie is the probabilities are off.
It's part of it. Yeah, the probabilities are off. Like, and we'll explore that more later.
When they flew that tank,
that's the best part of the movie.
They were doing the math. They were like figuring out like on a
don't get me wrong
slide ruler.
That scene was so great. The movie is a ton of fun.
If you don't think about it too much, the movie is an absolute blast.
Yeah, don't think about it.
And also, Bradley Cooper is just upsettingly good looking. Like, he is.
Also, this movie reminded me of how hot Jessica Biel is. Like, I forgot about her. I'm like, oh wow. Like, yeah, she's great.
So, anywho, Hannibal Smith, handcuffs two dogs together in the darkness of a warehouse.
That scene, that alone was like very, I was like, what is he doing? Because you hear the dogs whimper and it's like, what is he doing?
I was like, oh no, this movie opens with him shooting two dogs. Alex checked out. Like, it's done. Like, this is over. Yeah.
No, they were fine. They were fine. Yeah, he didn't hurt them.
So he made a Cerberus. So the,
he's lacking one head, but yeah.
Well, still. Well, two out of three ain't bad. So, now he's going to go into the town and save
a town.
Face Man. And now Face is, he's given some money to these cops and that's got a tracking device in it. And that's going to help them find some Mexican general who is about to like kill Templeton. They didn't even say his first name, but Lieutenant Templeton Face Man Peck in like the most horrific way possible. Like, they're going to like light him on fire in like a bunch of gas soaked.
I love this scene, string him up. This scene is great though, because he's really like, I'm gonna go ahead and say too that like a lot of times we, especially with these action movies, like I feel like the comedy doesn't land. I generally was laughing at a lot of the stuff in this movie.
Oh, there's some like funny. There's some fun. These guys have good chemistry together. I'm gonna say this too. Mm-hmm. Rampage Jackson, real good.
He's pretty good in this. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. I'm surprised surprised he didn't get more work after this, because he's not
He's Batista-esque in this thing.
Needed tiny glasses.
So also, Rampage Jackson is stealing a Lamborghini and driving that through the streets of the same Mexican villa, and he takes it to a chop shop, I guess, and that's where he needs to get his GMC van, like the iconic A-Team van, back from some guy who maybe stole it from him or not. He beats a pile of ass. He gets his van back, and now he's cruising through the desert, and that's when he runs into Hannibal Smith, who carjacks him, but they make amends immediately because they're both Army Rangers, and fate, the probability of them finding each other, because now I'm convinced that Hannibal Smith is some sort of time master. It just worked out for him.
I also love the fact that they get along after Hannibal shoots him. Like, they're like, ah, it's fine.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, it's fine. You'll heal. It's not that big a deal.
So then they're like, all right, we got to go save Face. And so once again, they get there just in time because Face is about to be lit on fire. And he's not even expecting a rescue, because who could have possibly planned any of this? And yet here we are, and the truck like launches into this, like, I don't know, riding ring where they're going to burn him alive. And they just start shooting everybody, and Face goes rolling down a hill, and stuff explodes. And then they pick Face up, and he throws up all over the place, and they put him in the van, and everybody's like, hey, I'm a ranger. You're a ranger. I'm a ranger, too. Yay! And then they're like,
everyone's a ranger.
Everyone's a ranger. So then it's like, what are we going to do? We're going to take the Mexican general's stolen wife to a U.S. Army hospital that also happens to be in this same Mexican villa. And that's where we know we have an insane pilot. And I love Shartlow Copley in this movie. Like, I have a great time with him.
Maybe
as howling madman like Murdoch.
Aside from District 9, this is like his best performance. Like, he's really, really good in this.
He's a lot of fun in this. So you meet howling madman Murdoch, and he sews up BA's arm with a lightning bolt. And you find out he's a crazy person.
Did he ask for a lightning bolt?
Yeah.
That was, I love that a lot.
So then they go to the roof and they steal the medevac helicopter from this Mexican hospital. They drop an air conditioning unit on B.A. Baracus's van. You find out we're all Rangers. And now we're all airborne Rangers. And we're flying back to America from this mission that I don't think anyone sanctioned. Or anyone, there's a lot of talk about you shouldn't have hunted down the general, or this was about her. Like, you don't really get any backstory about what happened and why and to what end. However, when they fly across, like they do a flat stall in a helicopter and like a loop de loop, and like this causes B.A. Baracus to have his canonical fear of flying, which shows up in the TV show all the time. And so then, as they're flying across the U.S. border, Hannibal Smith is talking, and somehow birds are already in the air, because like an F-14 comes zooming out of nowhere and just nukes this dude. And that's the opening to your movie. Like, Joe Carnahan's just shooting his load Jump Street.
Yeah, the beginning of this movie is like a whole movie. Like, it's like, it really is. Like,
it's a whole movie, but the plot wasn't there. It's like, if you took all the action beats of a movie.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
So now it's 8 years later.
After this, it says they give an 8 years later title card.
Yeah.
After all that shit goes down for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. It fucking rocks.
But it's like, it shows them forming. This is the four of them. And then they're just buddies for the next 8 years. And so now they're in, I think they're in Iraq, because they got to go to Baghdad. And
Shartlow Copley's cooking steaks with a gunpowder.
He's cooking steaks with gunpowder and antifreeze. And they're like just hanging out, having a good old time. And then Night Owl shows up. And Major Dad shows up, and
Major Dad. I'm glad you guys remembered Major Dad. As soon as I saw, I was like, "That's Major Dad." I told Sean, I was like, "Anybody remember that show? Like, that's an odd cultural touchstone for me. I don't think I ever watched it. I just knew it was
on." Oh, I watched it. I can't tell you like the plot of any episode, but I do remember Major Dad. Wasn't he also in Simon and Simon, or am I thinking of another guy?
I don't even know what Simon and Simon is.
Yeah, me neither. So
I know he was married to Delta Burke. That was like, I don't know, like a running joke in like every sitcom for about 10 years.
Shout out to Designing Women. So
hell yeah.
Now, anywho, it's 8 years later. We're done mopping up the first Gulf War. So for you younger audiences playing at home, there was a time where we weren't at war in the Middle East. So
it was very brief.
Yeah, during the Clinton administration. So then they go, they say, all right, well, look, here's the deal. Night Owl shows up, and he's like, there's some mint plates, the things you use to make $100 bills and other denominations of American currency. We need to get those back because Saddam Hussein, God rest his soul, printed out like $1 trillion and we need to get that back. So
his plan was to flood the U.S. and destabilize the economy.
Yeah, we did it ourselves.
He should have just waited a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple months later. So they're like, all right, so Qui-Gon Jinn's like, you got to send us in here. You can't send Black Rock or whoever in there to do this. Those guys are animals.
Black Forest. What a stupid name.
But it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be Black Rock, right? Like,
yeah, it's very... any PMC. It's any PMC.
Yeah, I played Metal Gear. I know how that shit works.
Metal CQC. So then they go, and he's like, he goes to talk to Major Dad, and he's like, "Yo, let me go do this thing." And Major Dad's like, "I bet." Like, have some brandy about it. And then, meanwhile, Jessica Biel shows up in her civvies as a captain working for DOD. And then you find out she had a tryst with Templeton Face Man Peck. And she's like, whatever you do, don't go after these printing press dealies, these plates. And he's like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, lady. And then, like, literally she goes off screen, and then Qui-Gon's like, we got to go after these plates. He's like, all right, cool. On it. Yeah. And she assigns two lackeys to watch them, and then they get double-crossed by some cosplay, and she's like, crap, now what do we do? So then they
that was funny. That
was funny.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Like, they literally did, like, the Looney Tunes thing of, like...
Where did they get the wigs? So then they do...
Here's the problem, guy. You're thinking too much.
You're right.
Why'd I have the bowl, Bart? You are thinking way too much.
Why'd I have the bowl? So...
Why'd I have the bowl, Bart?
So,
there's the fudgicles.
Fudgicles. So, anywho... So then they do what is a classic. When young Goggs was just a wee lad, I loved the A-Team when they would just MacGyver something together. They did it every episode. Every episode they cobbled something together to make their plan work. Like, and this is what they do here. They take a car door and a bunch of airbags and like some pipe and whatever. And then they work out this insane plan with one to hijack this truck that's full of a bajillion dollars and these printing plates. And so this, you know, heist in the middle of the streets of Baghdad works through who knows, once again, just through the Colonel Hannibal Smith's ability to bend probability, because they use like an electromagnet and like some wheel shoes, and they strap a bunch of airbags to this truck. And it all blows up and then gets floated away. And then they get hoisted up with a tilt rotor and they go back to their base. And it's like, all right, look, we did it. We got all the stuff. We're the tits. Bring on the stakes. And then Major Dad shows up because he's the only one that now it becomes face off, right? Because the only person that knew about this secret mission was Major Dad. And Major Dad shows up in his Humvee and he explodes. And it's like, oh, snap. Major Dad's dead. And then they're like, then they turn around and there's the Black Forest Cake guys stealing things. And then they start unloading their guns at them. And then the cargo container full of the bazillion dollars explodes. And then they get arrested by the military police. And they're put in front of a...
Have you ever read the comic book Sleeper? This is like a dumb version of the plot of the comic book of Sleeper. If you've ever read it, it's very good. Ed Brubaker, I highly recommend it.
Same
thing. Like, they're sent on a mission. The only person that knows about the mission is killed, and then they're like, oh, fuck, we got to figure something out. It's the same idea.
Face off.
Shout out, Ed Brubaker.
Shout out, face off. So now, so they get put in front of like a military tribunal, and they're all boys. So like, we were trying together.
This scene fucking rules. They start like a fight in court. It's like, this is bullshit.
One of the guys on the tribunal's name was Carnahan.
That's funny.
So then they get convicted and sent to prison. And even though they're like, hey, what about BlackRock or whatever? They're like, that's outside the realm of military justice, so we're not going to bother about it. I'm like, that's not how the government would ever handle this in a bazillion years. So, I believe, if memory serves, that the bad guy from the original TV show was also named Pike, and I believe he was played by the guy who had Quado in his chest from Total Recall, but I may be wrong.
So, and I should have looked it up, but I refused to. So now they're all going to prison. They've been stripped of rank. Jessica Biel gets demoted from captain to lieutenant. And Night Owl is just out there night owling things because he works for the CIA and his name's Lynch and they're all named Lynch. And the CIA, this is like, this reminds me of like the CIA stuff you saw from like, I don't know if anyone else, I'm sure both of you did, but the Punisher Max series, like all the CIA stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Probably which is what the CIA does, but they do it a lot in the Punisher Max series.
It was like all CIA. Yeah.
So anywho, now they're all in prison and it's like 6 months later and Hannibal Smith has been collecting better intelligence than the CIA from behind the bars of his own prison.
Yeah. Face Man is getting laid.
He's getting laid and maybe jacked off. Who knows what's happening? He's having a great time. Like he's like living his best prison life.
Yeah.
So Hannibal Smith gets visited by Night Owl, and Night Owl's like, yo, how you need to go right this wrong, and I'll reinstate you, and you can become a colonel again, and I'll give you a new van. And he's like, all right, cool. Hand me this cigar that makes me sleepy. So he does that, and he ends up in an incinerator, and I still can't figure out how you survive this, because those things burn so hot as to melt bone. Even if you kick the little pieces that he kicks, and he comes out the back and he scares the mortician to death. And then I guess he just walks out. Like, I'm not sure how the scene where he escapes the crematorium, but then leaves the facility doesn't ever really get fleshed out.
No, like, it doesn't.
That never happens.
No, yeah.
So then, but then again, once again, he's a probability wizard, much like Dominic Toretto's a physics wizard, right? So, Now that I'm saying this over and over again, I'm becoming more confident about the fact that that's the only way this works. So now he's like, all right, I'm going to go get Face. And somehow he gets into Face's prison. And the moment that Face is doing like leg curl raises in a standing tanning bed, he gets put on a pallet jack and ratchet strapped out of that prison. And then they're like, we got to go get B.A. Baracus. And we know he's conveniently being transported in this van. So we're going to get specialty tags that say get out or look out or prepare for action.
Emergency exit.
Right.
Emergency exit, yeah.
And they just happen to know he's going to be sitting on that side of the truck. And they just happen to know that he's going to be looking out the window and react. And then they spear hook into the rear door and like yank him out the back. And now they've got their B.A. Baracus back, but now he's a peace-loving man, so he doesn't shave his mohawk in because he's been fighting his whole life, and he don't want to kill no more Hannibal, and that's fine. But we still got to get Shartlow Copley, and where is he? His ass is in Germany. So we're going to somehow get everybody to Germany, where he is being, like, that scene from Suicide Squad, where he's just getting his brain fried, like, on the regular.
Yeah.
And then Annabelle Smith, not Hannibal Smith, but Annabelle Smith sends them a copy of The Dirty Dozen, a bunch of 3D glasses. Somehow he gets the entire Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest Brigade into a fervor to watch this movie. And then somehow they manage to time it that when the truck is driving at the screen, they drive a Humvee through the wall.
Oh, it's so awesome. That scene is so great, though. Like, it's fucking awesome.
And they get Shartlow Copley back.
Freaking the fuck out because the fucking truck drove through the... Like, that's amazing.
And so Jessica Biel was like, I don't know, fuck. I'm like, she's one step behind them the whole time because the band is back together now. But now they got to figure out where Pike is. Well, Pike's in Germany, too. Convenient, right? And he's got the minting plates at Koenigsbank or something. And they're like, all right, well, we got to figure this whole situation out. Let's do the thing from Batman where we just assault this tower and blow out a window and then skyhook this Arab guy who is with this guy Pike all the time. And this is, once again, a tremendous action sequence. Like, people are flying around everywhere. People are like friggin' zip lining this, that, and the other. People are like rappelling down from like a 60 story building. Like, I don't know how from a physics standpoint, Charlotte Copley didn't blend this guy they're kidnapping into the rotors of his helicopter, but he doesn't do it, and they steal him away.
They timed it perfectly.
They timed it expertly, and Pike gets, you know, he tries to shoot at him, and he gets his, you know, shit smashed around. Oh, wait, hold, please. There's a scene before that where they're in, I guess they're all in a train station, and it's like the CIA is there, and the Pike group is there, and Jessica Biel is there, and it's all cat and mousey, and nobody knows what's going on, and like they think that the CIA is going to put a hit out on Jessica Biel, so there's like there's tension in a photo booth, and there's a whole lot of, I don't know, misdirection, Stan, and they fucking, I don't know, they avoid whatever capture was or murder was going to happen there. So then they do the heist. There's a lot of, this is a good movie for Capril because there is a lot of heisting. So then
it's very heisty.
So then they heist the Arab fella, and then they're like, all right, we got to figure this out from here. And they got the plates. So they have the minting plates, and they got the Arab guy who's behind Pike. So now what do we do? Well, they take him back to this quaint farm fishing shack somewhere in the middle of Germany. And that's when Hannibal Smith comes to the realization that this is not an Arab. This is our major dad. And they find out that he was supposed to be, it was supposed to be him and BlackRock and the CIA all working together to steal $1 bajillion. And they cut him out.
How much is that? A bajillion?
A lot. so they cut him out. And so he's like, well, I'm going to send in my A-team. And then him and Pike squared up a deal to betray the CIA, and double crossing the CIA never seems like a good idea. Looking at you, John F. Kennedy. And then you just get got. So
allegedly.
So then
I don't need you assassinated, Gogs.
No, please. Yeah. I don't have anything the CIA wants.
You got that ass.
Hey, yo. So then they, and this part I did not like, this actually made me cringe a little bit when they call in the airstrike. He's like, that's just like Call of Duty. That was unnecessary, but
it was a topical joke at the time.
So yeah. So Patrick Wilson calls in an airstrike, blows everybody up. He's like, go get me the plates. And then it becomes like, now it's triple cross time. Now we got a fake that Major Dad's still alive, that we still have the plates, and we're going to call Jessica Biel and say, because we know that the CIA is listening to her phone, and give her, you know, tell her about all this, that, and the other. And by the way, Pike is now working with Night Owl again. And then they call her again on the burner phone and say, here's the magic trick we're about to do with a bunch of cargo containers and cranes, as illustrated by these three cups and three balls in this warehouse where Face is explaining his plan. And this is where the movie sort of falls apart, because
you skipped over the most iconic scene from the movie,
which is
where they're flying a tank.
Oh, I digress. So
go ahead.
So they're escaping from having been blowed up, and they get to like a C-130 transport. And Hannibal Smith says some real cold shit, like, are you guys armed or wanted by the U.S. government? And they're like, no. I was like, well, we're both, so get out of here. And I was like, nice. So they fly the plane. Reaper drones shoot down the plane. They use the Abram tank in the back on parachutes. And you're right. They fly this tank using this just propulsion. The cannon on it. But like, there's a scene where Face is on the 50 cal on the roof shooting drones.
It's so awesome. It's awesome. It's
pretty awesome.
And then I love that.
Bradley Cooper is like, he's having the time of his fucking life.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so just good.
Cackling and smiling.
And the funny thing is the CGI is a little janky, but it makes it even better. It makes the scene better because it looks so kind of goofy. But I was talking about stuff that I laughed at. So while they're in the plane, the big, like, whatever you call it, plane, the big, like, the
B-130.
It's like a B-130 plane. So they basically give B.A. Baracus, like a drug to knock him out because he's scared of flight, like God
said. Which is canonically accurate.
Yeah. But so he doesn't know
that he's in the tank, and there's like a funny scene where he's like, "Tell me I'm not in a plane. Tell me we're not in a plane." And Shardo Copley's like, "Oh, we're not in a plane. We're not." He's like, "We're flying in a tank." He's like, "That's not flying. That's falling." Like, I don't know. It's I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was really funny. And yes. Them fucking navigating a tank from the sky. Because specifically, Gogs, I got to call you out on this one. This is the scene that broke you. You hated this scene. I argue this is one of the best scenes I've ever seen in my life.
This scene I appreciated a lot more on this viewing. I was with
it's so much fun. Oh my God. It is a ton of fun. Yeah, it's so stupid. Fucking stupid.
And so they
There's a line that where like two of the agents are talking. They're like, there must be some kind of breakdown in code. It says they're flying a tank.
Tank? Yeah.
Nope. That's accurate. They are flying a tank.
And they direct themselves over to a lake and they smash into a lake where a guy is fishing with dynamite, and then it's all timed lovely so that they're trying to slow their descent down by the recoil of this tank round firing off. It's nuts. And then I guess the tank is watertight, which actually makes a lot of sense. Smashes into the water. They don't get turned into pudding. And then they just drive out of this lake heading to Berlin. All right. So here we go.
What a scene.
What a scene. So now Faceman is making his plan. And it's this big mix them up, who's a what's it, misdirectional something. They got some Mercedes trucks out of the deal. Somehow they talked somebody into borrowing their entire dock for the afternoon so they can set this up. They've got like a shipping container ship, and then they raise up the middle of it and do like a three-act play where fucking Hannibal is out there on the phone talking about how he's being double-crossed by what's her name, by Jessica Biel, and then it's like scene, and then the container goes on top of him, and then all the containers like shuffle around, and then there's trucks and fireworks and fire, and all of this is to confuse and expose Patrick Wilson somehow, because they think that Major Dad's alive and they need to kill Major Dad, and they also need to get the plates back, and then they can screw the A-team yet again. Pike hits the ship with a surface-to-air missile and like sends the whole thing listing, and then the whole place kind of falls to pieces into ruins. But B.A. Baracus gets his will to kill back, thank God, and he absolutely just he throw pile drives Pike into the ground and shatters his neck. Howling Madman Murdoch is wearing a Kevlar helmet of melted Kevlar and ketchup packets, so when Patrick Wilson shoots what he thinks is Major Dad in the head, there's arterial spray, and then they pull up a shipping container and they invited all of journalism there and I guess the U.S. government to witness Patrick Wilson get exposed. But then John Hamm out of left field comes and gets his ass.
Yeah, I forgot he was in this movie.
But then, you know, it can not necessarily canonically accurate, because the whole point of the A-team, right, from the theme song is they were convicted of crimes they didn't commit, and they made short order of escaping a maximum security stockade to hide in the L.A. underground, where they are still wanted from, you know, they're fugitives from justice and living as soldiers of fortune. And if you can find them, if no one else can help,
right?
If you can find them, maybe you can hire
the AT.
Right? So at the end of this movie, they don't get their names cleared. They're still getting like fucked over by they're like, well, you still escaped prison, even though you solved all of our problems. And then I guess it sets them up to escape yet again and then flee to the underground and continue to be the A-team. But there has never been, to the best of my knowledge, pitched a sequel to this movie, because it tees it up to be a sequel.
Yeah, it's definitely sequel, but I don't think this movie did very well, if I remember correctly.
But that's it. That's the A-team.
Maybe, Alex, you don't have the box office numbers, do you? You're good with the
the trivia.
No, give me a second. I can
fight with the stats.
Damn.
But yeah, I mean, I can't say enough how good Rampage Jackson is in this movie. Like, he should not be this good.
Really?
It's good. Like, it's like Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems. I'm like, you are a natural at this.
Like, yeah, I'm surprised. I'm really, like I said, I was really surprised that he didn't show up in more stuff, because I feel like he's pretty good in this movie. Like,
he gets some, good like, enough he to get some, like, personal stink on him. Like, did he have like some allegations or something? Was he like? Oh,
probably. I don't remember.
No, it made a 177 on a budget of 100.
Oh, so it all did right. Okay. It was a
probably broke even-ish.
Yeah.
Where is this in Joe Carnahan's, like, where does this show up in his order of movies?
In his order of movies, or like in a ranking of his films?
No, like timeline. Like, where does this, what was before?
This is before The Gray.
And after Smoking Aces. And yeah. After Narc.
Yeah, Narc was like his first movie.
He fucking killed that. God damn, that movie's good.
Yeah, I mean, I love Joe Carnahan. I wish Sean was here, because he echoes a statement. We're like both Joe Carnahan apologists. And I think that Joe Carnahan, like, I feel like his career, like, he's, you know, he's successful, obviously. Like, Gogs, you and I both loved the Boss Level that he did.
I absolutely adored Boss Level. That movie rules.
And he did another movie.
Dumb, arguably.
Last year, I think, called Cop Shop, which I haven't seen. But, like, I feel like he should have been bigger. Like, I guess maybe it's because he never, like, as much as I like this movie, spoiler alerts, I really like this movie, it's not Narc. Like, he never made another
Narc. No.
He never made anything on the level of Narc again. Also, I don't know, you guys can chime in on this if you want, but earlier in the film, like, early on in the film, B.A. Baracus is wearing yellow. And Joe Carnahan's a big fucking Marvel nerd. Is that it? You think that might be a Luke Cage?
Like a Luke nod? Cage reference?
I saw that.
They make a comment about the yellow shirt. Right. They draw the attention to it.
Well, because, like, I don't know, big burly black guy, like yellow shirt. Like, I feel like I was like, I wonder. Because at one point, Joe Carnahan wanted to make a 70s Daredevil movie, which is one of those, like, I want to go to the fucking multiverse where that happened, because I'd love to see him make a comic book movie, because I, especially after watching this, like, I feel like he could make a fucking, like, Guardians-esque movie.
Give him a Deadpool movie, he'd probably destroy it.
Oh my god, yeah. Give him a fucking Punisher movie, that would be fun. Like, if you give him, like, a fucking, like, more, like, cartoon, well, even, like, Warzone is, like a more, like, over-the-top, like, that would be great. I don't know, I really liked it. And, like, The Gray is great. Like, I really like Joe Carnahan a lot.
I like The Gray a lot.
The Gray,
I really did love Boss Level. I need to see Wheelman. Him and Frank Grillo do a lot together.
Wait, he did Wheelman?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he did that. I love that movie. Are you sure he directed that? I thought he did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I didn't.
It says
Wheelman's. Wheelman's really good.
Yeah, it's a Netflix original, right?
Yeah, it's great. With
Frank Grillo? Yeah, he directed that. I'm sorry. He produced it.
Okay. Yeah. Wheelman's awesome. All right. Anything else we're gonna talk about before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles?
I mean, the movie's just like,
I feel like we did a lot of talking during the synopsis. So,
I mean, the movie's I feel like I gotta give this movie 2 scores. Like, if I think about it, it's one thing. If I don't think about it, it's another.
But I think this movie
is his reptilian score is a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I feel like this movie is actively telling you not to think about it. Like, you don't think this movie is taking itself seriously, do you?
It is not, right? So that's the part that's I'm the like, trying to, that's the thing. That's what, like, I'm
it's like a cartoon.
Yeah. It is. And, like, if I take, and that's what I was saying before, like, if I were to go watch the original A-Team show, I would find a plethora of plot problems with that show. But 8-year-old Gogs just wanted to see the van do things and then watch them do silly shit and then watch George Pappard or whatever his name is smoke a cigar with his gloves and smile about how a plane came together.
I didn't talk about this synopsis, but you guys remember when especially this, that around this time, like early 2000s, where they kept remaking stuff like from the like A-Team, Starsky and Hutch. And yeah. I feel like there's a few more, but they always had to have the original actor show up somewhere. There's like this stupid scene where Bradley Cooper and I guess the guy that played Face Man shows up.
Yeah, played Face.
Like,
yeah.
And it's like, oh God. Like, I remember when they used to
shoot. How do you keep your face so smooth?
Yeah. Lotion. I don't know. I look like shit. I don't know.
He's an old man now. What do you want?
Yeah, him? I know, but like I just remember.
Why are you shitting on Dirk Benedict? Like Dirk Benedict's been out here working forever.
That guy's name is Dirk Benedict. That's an amazing name.
1945. He's 2 years older than my parents. Yeah, Dirk Benedict.
Dirk Benedict. That can't be his like birth name. That's amazing.
It's a Christian God-given name.
Sure, yeah. Shout out to Dirk Benedict. Hell
back,
yeah.
Back in the day, handsome fella.
Like, oh, well, absolutely. That's why he's Face Man. Like that's a quite a feat, right? In like the military group, like you're just handsome. Like
yeah, you're just a pretty one. Like you get to like, but he would always like in the show. Like I have I just remember the show. Like he would always be wearing a mask or something. He was the infiltrator. Yeah. Like he was Yeah.
All right. Five knuckle shuffle time. Jesus. Five knuckle shuffle time. Gogs, because I got to hear this.
I'm gonna give you two scores, but if I think about it,
I just want one score. Just give me one.
All right. I'm gonna go with my fun score then. It's
go
a
with
nine.
Your gut.
With my all right. My fun yeah, score is right. A nine. My fun score. All right. Like if I sat because I sat there, and if I didn't think about it hard. I was smiling and happy about it. It was like all my pleasure centers
Were you on edibles when you watched this?
I was not. I was stone cold sober.
It would be a fun movie to watch high.
I bet it'd be a 10 if that was the case. Like it was because like flying the tank is fun.
Oh
like,
my God, it's so
the
much
stuff
fun.
Is dumb. Like everyone's pretty good at it. Like yeah. Bradley Cooper's good in it. Charlotte Copley's good in it. As I keep saying, Rampage Jackson's good in it. And
Patrick Wilson's good in it.
Jessica Biel's good in it. And Qui-Gon Jinn, like, he's great in it. Like, because he's fun. And he's not trying to do an American voice. Like, he's just like, he just stuck with his Scottish accent. And
he's
that's
still
cool.
Doing. He's still doing something. It's not quite his normal
voice. Well, it's like he's doing like his Taken voice, but that's fine. Yeah. And like I don't know, it's a lot of fun. It's goofy. There's explosions everywhere, and you know that's kind of what you want in an 18 movie. If I'm thinking about it, if I'm critiquing all the fact that you know there must have been something bending reality the whole time, then it's like a 7. But even then, like it's a bunch of fun, and it's like I don't know. I like I wouldn't have minded a sequel. I would have watched a sequel if they had made one. So. Yeah, I've turned a corner on this thing. In a fun way possible.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
I'm gonna give it an 8. I'm glad Goggs came around on it a lot. It's just a little too long.
It is a little too long. I agree.
2+ hours on a movie like this is too much. Like this needed to be like an hour 45.
Yeah, I think it was 2:05, 2:15.
Yeah, it was like 2:15, 2:10, something like that. Yeah. And it did not need to be that at all, not even close. Mm-hmm. There's definitely fat they could have cut out. But I echo everything God said. Everybody in it's so much fun. They all look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Rampage Jackson, like I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he just didn't like acting.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did anything else or not. I never even didn't even look him up.
I don't think so.
I think we would have heard about it.
Maybe. I mean, Batista took a spot in everything else he was going to do. An 8. TJ.
It is a 9 for me, dog. I love this movie. I think this movie is a ton of fun. And I get what Goggs is saying about if you don't think about it. But again, like, there's intentionality behind its blatant stupidity, right? Like it is, you know what I mean?
Dumb is a choice here.
Yeah, exactly. Like this isn't like a like this isn't like they thought. Now I will argue and well not argue, but I will put out there that
Skip Woods when he wrote this script, because there's like three credited screenwriters. I would not be surprised that the original draft of this script was supposed to be way more serious. And then somebody saw it and was like, oh, we're going to just ramp this up to 1,000 and make this the most insane thing possible. But I mean, I can't help but like just there's a smile on my face through the whole movie. Like, it's funny. The action scenes are really well directed. The
action
like,
scenes are really well put together.
The set pieces are just a lot of fun. Like, just the concept of being in the plane, seeing it get shot down, then them being in the tank. Like, that's just conceptually such a fun idea. And yeah, it's fucking stupid and it doesn't make any sense. But man, is it fun. It's so much fucking fun. And like Alex said, you got fucking, what's his name, on the fucking turrets shooting the fucking drones out of the sky. Obama's crying somewhere because his favorite drone got blown up. Like, shit's amazing. Like, it's a lot of fun. And again, like, the cast is really good together. Like, all of them, just, like buddies.
Like the scene at the base camp where Murdoch's cooking food and they're just jawing at each other. It like, seems like they're having, like, a good time. You're right. Like, it's just like,
well, Alec just said it, and I totally agree. Like, it feels like they had fun making the movie. Like, it carries through to the final product. Like, they seem to be genuinely enjoying each other's company, and I don't know. There's something like compelling about that, and everyone's good in it. Like, and it, again, I guess like I'm just very used to a lot of like very bland. Like, and it's not like this movie is like fucking edgy, right? But like, I'm just used to a lot of kind of flat humor these days, especially in action movies. And like, this movie is genuinely funny, but I think maybe that comedy comes from being, again, like just performed really well. Like, I don't know. I think this movie is kind of underrated because like nobody really remembers this movie. And I think this movie is kind of great. Like, this is one of the better, like out of, and again, like I just got done talking about Joe Carnahan. Like, this is one of his better movies. Like, this is really good. Like, I think this is a really good movie.
I was just thinking about like one scene that I've neglected to talk about, and it actually made me laugh out loud, was the scene when Patrick Wilson has Pike in the back of his car and his like other CIA guy is going to shoot him and he can't figure out how to put the silencer on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
He's like, don't let him shoot me. If you're going to shoot me, have somebody, please, just anybody else but this guy.
Yeah.
And then he gets loose and headbutts the dude. And then Patrick Wilson pulls his gun on and he starts laughing. Like, everyone's like, oh, this is fun. Very dangerous. No, good times.
But anyway, yeah, this is great. So yeah, I'm glad you came around, Gog.
I did.
Yeah, this is fun. So who's the last pick?
Sean.
Of course it's Sean. Damn, I forgot. All right, well, so everybody will have to wait in suspense till we know what Sean's pick is. So I'm not sure what he's going to pick. I don't even remember what he was between. I should have asked him.
Thief was on his list, but we watched the two things he wanted to watch was Thief and Hell on High Water. So like,
we'll find out. We got one more heist movie to go. This has been a very good month so far, so I'm excited to see. He's probably going to pick, what was the fucking Zack Snyder zombie verse?
Oh, Army of the Dead.
No, the
prequel where you learn about the German safecracker.
Yeah.
Army of Thieves.
He's going to pick that. Yeah. I was going to pick that.
Maybe there's a heist in the new Rebel Moon movie.
I think Rebel Moon Part 2's coming out?
No, it's coming out.